Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for Mark's recording of Jesus' words. And we pray that you would speak through them. Help me preach according to your word. I pray my voice will stay strong. And we pray that we would be changed in the way we live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see there's a parable of growing grass. Now, growing a lawn, last year Michelle and I, we built a house in Warrnambool, and the yard was a big project because you've got all this dirt and you've got to do something with it. And we got a bobcat in and did the slope. And then what we did is I got a hydraulic rotary hoe and got in a truckload of soil builder. There we go, little Zoe on the rake trying to help. You got to work the soil, you got to rake it. You got to water it, and then you spread the seed, and you wait. And then it kind of comes up, and you're looking at it, and you think, I think I'll put more seed out than that. And you wait, and then you look at your neighbours, and you're looking at yours, and then you look at your neighbours. You look at your neighbours, there it is. And his is always greener, isn't it? You know that old expression, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And we lived like that for 2 months. That's funny, isn't it, when you're trying to grow grass, because you can water it and you water it and nothing happens. It's just dirt. And you think, did I put enough water on? Did I actually use the right seed? Did they sell me live seed? Is there enough topsoil? And then you kind of get those green shoots kind of coming up. And when you go away for a week, it's always better because you come back and you can see a difference. And we moved to Ballarat, and again, the church, we moved into the church house, and we kind of got a blank slate again, except this time it's got a heap of weeds. And Dennis, he was out in the church this week, he was spraying all the weeds. Dennis does a heap of work on the church grounds, and so I thought, yes, if Dennis is doing it, I should do it. And so we got a spray, and we found some good chemical. And we sprayed, and look at that cape weed. You can't really pick it up. Wait till we get our new data projector. You'll see the death of the cape weed. So much better. Does good things to your heart to see cape weed dying. Now, growing grass can be a lot of fun. And today's passage is all about the kingdom of God. And it's a bit like grass growing. You look at it and you think, is anything actually happening? Is God's kingdom actually going? And if you're just joining us, we're in the early chapters of Mark, and Jesus' ministry is well underway, but his identity is still a mystery. The crowds are captivated by Jesus, but they don't still know who exactly he is. And so last week we looked at the parable of the sower and how different people respond to the gospel differently. People always respond to the news of Jesus, but they always respond differently. So we pick up in verse 21. Let me read it again. Verse 21. And he said to them, is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bread and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. For he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, it's always helpful to have context. What's Jesus talking about? He was talking about the word of God and God's response. What's the lamp? Who is the lamp? Initially, we think, oh, the lamp must be the good news of Jesus. You can't hide the gospel. You have to share it with everyone. But it makes more sense that Jesus is actually talking about himself specifically. He's talking about that he is the light of the world. And verse 22, very helpful to understand that Jesus' identity is hidden when he says these words, but will soon be revealed. Verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to the light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. A time will come when Jesus will be displayed to the world, and every knee will bow. But when Jesus is saying this, his identity is still not open. And so he hints to his followers the importance of his words. You say, pay attention, listen up. I'm concealed at the moment, but soon I'll be brought into the open. Now think about a couple of years ago when you got engaged. Do you remember that? A couple of years ago for some of us, a long time for others. Well, a few years ago, I'm not going to say how long, when I wanted to ask Michelle for her hand in marriage, I rang her father and asked if we could catch up. And he said, yeah, later that week. And I went and saw him and asked if he was happy for me to marry Michelle. And he gave his blessing. And I asked a second question. I asked my mother-in-law to keep it quiet. Don't know which one. No, I won't say that. Proposals have to be concealed, don't they? There's no point telling your future bride-to-be, oh, I'm going to propose to you on the 22nd of such and such. Oh, how boring would that be? Well, think about a surprise party. What's the point of a surprise party if the birthday person knows it's their party? There's no point, is there? Well, for Jesus, his identity has to be concealed until the time is right. And it's incredible that Jesus waits to go to Jerusalem on the Passover festival. It's so clear that God's in control. It's such clear. He waits until the very Passover week. And then when he does, his identity is revealed. They arrest and crucify him. He is the Passover lamb. Now, Jesus doesn't conceal his identity anymore. And there are times when Christians have to conceal their faith, but not today. Not in Ballarat, not in the year 2019. You and I are licensed to shine brightly. We can mention Jesus as many times as we want. When you think about it, people are suffering in our world. So many Geelong supporters that are suffering. Are you paying attention? People are empty. They need hope. They need Jesus. Jesus can provide the hope everyone needs. He goes on, verse 24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. He's very clear, isn't he? He's saying, you can't just hear my words. You've got to hear them and act on them. There's no point just hearing the gospel. It's about responding. It's about living for the gospel. Now, for me, I get paid to hear Jesus and read Jesus' words and then explain them. I'm preparing my sermons. I'm thinking, am I actually living what I'm reading? Am I living what I'm preaching? Is my life reflecting on what I'm saying? And what we say will be measured on how we live, and even more. That's a really strong warning for us, isn't it? Because so easily we're tempted to talk about other people and to look down on them. Did you hear about so-and-so? And then she did such and such. I couldn't believe it. He did this and that in front of me. Jesus' words. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Terrifying words, aren't they? If we hold others to a certain standard, to a certain measure, that same measure will be used on us and more. Thank God that it's not about how good we are. Thank God that it's about how good Jesus is. We're saved by Jesus, not by ourselves. And the parable of the tenants or the miners, it captures verse 25 very well. And the question we need to ask, are we using our gifts or are we burying them? Can I just mention Board of Management nominations open next week? Are we using our talents and gifts for God's glory? Because if we don't, what we have, God will take away from us and give to others. And then Jesus explains what the kingdom is like using two parables. We read in verse 26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises day and night, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. The earth produces by itself the first, the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now, I used to live out of West Wimmera, Neil Conover, as an agronomist. I'd be paid to drink coffee with farmers. And it was amazing to watch the countryside transform at cropping time. Because out there, it was always brown, it was always yellow. And then at cropping time, all the crops, all the paddocks were ploughed. And we have this countryside would turn to brown. And then bang, green would shoot. The countryside would change to green. The grain would sprout. And then it would grow. Even in the worst of paddocks, even if the farmer was hopeless, he didn't get the crop in on time, didn't use the pivot fertilizer he should have, even then the grain would still grow if the rain came. And Jesus is explaining, with the kingdom of God, we won't often see the kingdom grow. Whether you sit there and watch the grass grow, like as I explained, I played my part, I prepared the soil, scattered the seed, watered the ground. Doesn't matter how good a gardener or farmer we are, it's God that grows the grass. Similarly with the kingdom of God, isn't it? We see the seeds of the gospel of Jesus go out into people. And we have no idea who's going to respond or when they're going to respond. And we can't turn people into Christians, can we? We can't force them to become Christians. We play our part, we tell people, we invest in them, and we leave it to God to work. But the challenge is, are we actually playing our part? Are we scattering the seeds of the gospel? Are we actually helping people to make a decision to follow Jesus? And God uses us. But we need to be actually ready to be alert to his working. It's so easy to miss the opportunities, isn't it? We talk to people, but we just assume that they follow Jesus. Always good to ask. Don't just take it for granted. And some people think, where are all the Presbyterians? Where are they all? Why is our denomination so small at the moment? Well, there's heaps of different factors. We could talk about union, we could talk about liberal teaching, we could talk about fractures and splits in church. But one of the key reasons is that us Presbyterians haven't been investing as we should. And someone might use the excuse, oh, well, God's sovereign. He'll choose. He'll call those to choose. I don't need to evangelize. Now, this is true, but God uses humans as a means of grace. Maybe, there aren't so many Presbyterians because they're all at the Baptist or at the Pentecostal church because they've actually shared the news of Jesus. They've come alongside them. We need to do our part. And Jesus uses a parable to explain the kingdom of God, verse 30. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so the birds of air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. Now, the mustard seed, there's no point putting a picture of a mustard seed. It's tiny. It's like a 1 millimeter in size. The smallest of all seeds, but in Jesus' time, it grew to be the biggest garden plant. Mustard seeds so small the birds would gobble them up, become so big that the birds would nest in them. And the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, so small to start with, but can grow so big. Now, Sinclair Ferguson suggests that the bird could be the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is like the bird. It came and tried to consume the kingdom of God, but later on it took refuge in it. You think about our Western society. No one really follows Jesus. No one thinks they need Jesus. But without Jesus, there would not be Western society. Without Christianity, there would not be democracy. There would not be civil rights. There would not be justice for all, healthcare for all. And unfortunately, as our society rejects Christianity, it will actually start to destroy itself. And we can see the cracks are forming, can't we? A society that's becoming more and more about me. Volunteerism is at an all-time low. You talk to anyone, Meals on Wheels, the Red Cross, any volunteer organisation struggling to get people because people aren't willing to serve. Profit at any cost is our society. The Royal Commission into Banking showed that the banks, companies will do whatever they need for money. Sexual revolution is at a point where anything is acceptable as long as there's consent. Even this week, the United Kingdom government in turmoil. Politicians want to look after themselves rather than serve their country. But we don't have to fear, do we? Because we know that the kingdom of God will not fail. The kingdom of God isn't going anywhere. It's been established and it's going to continue to grow. Regardless of what happens with our society, we can depend on Jesus. When he returns, the suffering will end, the chaos will end, the misery will end. Well, there will be no more sickness, no more corruption, no more sin. Nothing can stop God's kingdom. And so what we need to do is make sure we're part of God's growing kingdom. Rather than being people that's kind of dragged along, we need to be people being used and helping the kingdom be established. God is at work. We can see it, can't we? We can see it when we hear of our brother like Laurie. We can see it with many others in our church, but also in our town. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. God is at work, and it's an opportunity for us to be part of that work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are at work in us, and we thank you, although we can't often see the difference, there is massive difference happening. Father God, we pray for all of us as your people. We pray that you would continue to work in us, that it would be more about your will and less about our desires. It would be more about your kingdom than our own little agendas and kingdoms. Father God, give us wisdom when we're living in this day. Help us to do it in your strength and not in our own. Father God, help us to continue to sow seeds of the gospel, to be investing in one another and those that don't yet know you. And also help us, Father God, to be able to not reluctantly go along with what you're doing, but to be part of the ministry, to be part of growing your kingdom. And we do ask that your kingdom would continue to grow here and across the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.